So I don't know if you've been following the World Cup, but if you're just now catching up with it and yesterday watched that match, that was some exciting soccer. The match between the U.S. and France was really extraordinary too. So one more for the U.S. women in the World Cup march. Brittany Arnold joined us yesterday to sort of preview it. She's the Chicago Fire sidelines reporter. So she covers the men, but she knows soccer, and she did a great job for us yesterday on the women's side, and she joins us in studio now. Thanks for coming in. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
You watched the match yesterday, too.
I did, and that was quite an exciting match, and we expected it to be. We knew that England was going to come out wanting to win, and unfortunately, the U.S. were just stronger.
I watched the last two matches, so I don't know anything about soccer. I watched these two, but it's just like, to me, when I watch some soccer on TV, not World Cup, it seems to be more patient, and there's a lot of passing, and there doesn't seem to be the urgency. From the very beginning to the end, it's like these ladies were sprinting, and they were advancing the ball, and there was a lot of shots, and there was a lot of exciting moments. Is that a fair characterization of what I saw?
Absolutely, and this is the women's 11th consecutive win in World Cup action. So that just shows you not only how strong and talented this team is, but we saw yesterday when we talked in the show about Megan Rapinoe not being in the starting lineup. We ended up finding out that was a hamstring injury. But Kristen Press came in and she did exactly what she was supposed to do. She scored in the 10th minute, you know, just as the match was starting. So these women are so talented, and we saw that yesterday, even with the depth of the bench behind Jill Ellis.
And I thought the same about the girls from England, too. They were attacking. They were struck me as being a very talented team.
They absolutely are. And I know I was reading a lot of news and media surrounding the match, and the England fans were very upset about the VAR situation toward the end of the match. And I think that, listen, when you're in
this... What does VAR mean?
So VAR is the system that they use in the World Cup and in soccer to check on. It's like a replay system.
Instant replay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, for those of you that aren't familiar with the sport. And yesterday I was sitting on the couch watching the match, and when England had the penalty, I was at the edge of my seat like, oh my God. Oh my gosh. They're going to do this now in the semifinal. Like, I couldn't believe.
You didn't want them to use it. You think they got
the
call wrong?
They have to use it. They have to use it. I thought they got the call wrong.
Are you talking about the penalty or the offsides?
No, the penalty.
The penalty.
Yes.
So describe that scene. What was happening there?
So what they had said happened was, I believe, that the England player was kind of nicked in the boot, I believe, or the leg.
I didn't see that. Right, and I think, is this what happens? It looks like she's got a shot at the goal, and then our player tripped her. She's down. She's denied that, so now she gets a free kick.
Correct.
And people were losing their minds.
I was losing my mind.
Because it doesn't look like she was tripped.
It did not. I'm not a ref, yeah. And I would never want to be one of
today's. And then when they look at the instant replay, they judge that, yeah, she was tripped, so she gets the free kick. How often does that kick go in?
I definitely see, I'm not a professional soccer player, again, so I'm saying this from my perspective. I see a penalty kick as, you know, from a goalkeeper's perspective, it's a 50-50 shot. You're either going to left or you're going to go right. And you don't know what the person in front of you is going to be doing. So from a goalkeeper's perspective, it's a toss-up, right? It's a coin toss. You have to decide which way you're going to go. For a player, I feel like, to relate it to another sport, like maybe a free throw, right? We watch basketball and we're like, okay, you should not miss your free throws.
That's the way I feel.
That's
about
sort of
it.
How I feel about penalty kicks.
Yeah, no kidding. In fact, hey, producer Elif, can you look up what percentage of, are those called free kicks?
There's free kicks and penalty kicks, but yes.
Look up what percentage of penalty kicks or free kicks in soccer does the person make. I would be surprised if it was less than 60, right? Because even if I guess right, I also have to stop it. And that's pretty point blank. Well, our goalie who plays in Chicago, she's on the Chicago women's team, she made the stop. That was very exciting.
I mean, and you have to remember, too, the amount of pressure. I mean, can you imagine these women wait this many years to get to this moment in time, and it's you up against another woman at the same professional level, and all you have to do is get it into the back of the net. The amount of pressure, and I know that people say in general about athletes, right? They have to face the pressure. This is part of their job. But you can't deny the emotion and everything that they must have been feeling in that moment. And it's devastating. You work so hard to get to that point in a World Cup, but the U.S. Women's National Team is just up there in that conversation with the greatest, one of the greatest sports teams of all time. And that's in any sport. I mean, these women have won, what is it, 3 World Cups, looking to get their 4th. I mean, under Jill Ellis, they've won 2. So this is just, they're an exceptional team, and they have the depth to continue.
There was a move that one of our women made on the right side where she passed the ball between the legs of her defender, ran around the defender, and then picked up the ball where she left off, literally just threading the person in front of her, running around. And then she advanced the ball, and I don't remember if that led to a goal or not, but it was just some of the fanciest footwork I've ever seen.
They are incredible. And I think, too, you sometimes have that conversation. I think we talked a little bit about it yesterday, the division between men and women's sports. And sometimes you can have that conversation depending on what the sport is. I feel like in soccer, it's like you watch these women play, and the talent that they have and the moves that they have are right up there with what they
What did you think of that offsides call? Because then England scored. It was 2-2 for a couple of seconds, and then they pulled that goal off. The woman evidently had crossed the line or was in front of the place that you're supposed to be.
Right.
So she was offsides. Their goal is negated. It looked like they got the call right in that case.
Yeah, and it's such a high-pressure situation. And I remember when I first started learning soccer 9 years ago when I got into the industry, and offsides was the one thing that took me a long time to understand. I was like, okay, I grew up watching football and basketball and baseball and all these sports, and I'm like, I don't understand how you can call something, you know, offsides. Like, you know, what, and that, I think for a lot of people that maybe don't watch soccer all the time, it's difficult. What do you mean it's offsides? Like, what does that mean? Like, she had the ball, she was running, she was there. So, I think it was the right call yesterday, and I think that these refs have a ton of pressure in these, you know, decision settings for the, like, a World Cup semifinal or final or quarterfinal, and they have to get the call right, and they have to take the time. It's more important to say, okay, let me check VAR, let me check, let me make sure that I'm making the right call, because that one goal would have changed the entire game.
Think about that. I mean, maybe we don't win that match. What happens if it's a draw?
So it would have to, then it would go to, I believe in the World Cup, it goes extra time and then penalties.
Oh, they would have,
nobody scores.
So they will have a winner.
They have to, right, in the semifinal match, yes.
By the way, producer Aleph, were you able to find out what percentage of the penalty kicks go in?
Penalty kicks are scored about 75% of the time, John.
Oh, 75. Yeah.
That's...
And there's 25%, and that was us. So now what's the next match then?
So they're going to be playing in the final. They'll be playing the winner of today's match. So how it works with the World Cup is, the U.S. will go to the final, which is on the 7th, and they will play the winner of today's other semi-match, and then they have a third place. So basically, whoever wins today plays the U.S. in the final, and then England and the team that loses today will play each other for the third place.
And today it's Sweden and the Netherlands, I think it is.
Yes.
And so where's Brazil? Where's, I don't know, the South American and Central American countries? They were, I presume, in the hunt at some point, but they all lost out along the way.
They have. I think that the U.S. women's national team is too good. They are just, and the thing is, in soccer, the most important thing too is not only the caliber of these players, but the depth of the team. And we talked a little bit about that yesterday too, but it is so important because it's not just about one player carrying a team like it can be in other sports. Like, you need all of the players on the pitch performing well. And we saw yesterday when Megan didn't get in that starting 11 and everybody was, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? She's been so phenomenal. What's going to happen? And I was reading the media about it, and there was a lot of stress surrounding, you know, that decision. And, you know, we found out later that it was an injury, but Kristen stepped right up and scored the first goal. I mean, you can't have a better squad than you have with the U.S. women's national team.
Yesterday, we talked a little bit about the attitude of the team and the players, and we only briefly alluded to Rapinoe's comments about the White House and stuff like that. But I think we all kind of agreed Now, there was some disagreement, but I think we all generally agreed that if you can walk the walk, you get to talk the talk, and a little swagger isn't a bad thing for an athlete. And I had no trouble with it at all. Then I pick up my phone today, and I see on TMZ that some of the members of the U.S. women's team were at Disney World at Epcot Center on Sunday, and were drinking and getting too loud and rowdy, and eventually got arrested and thrown out, and then I guess released in time to play. But I thought, oh, you guys, what are we doing?
Yeah, it goes back to the conversation of, at the end of the day, these women are just that, right? They're women, just like LeBron James is a dad and a father and a guy, but they have to be held to a higher standard. And I definitely, not only as a journalist, but as an individual, believe that for athletes that are at the highest level, you know, being paid at the highest level on the biggest stages in the world, they have to be held to a high standard. They have to.
Well, they've
got,
just
part of the job.
And even if they don't like it, even if you could say, well, that's not fair, I should be treated like anybody else, guess what? That's not the way it is.
Nope, it's
people
not.
Do look at you. So you have to, so all of the swagger, all of the cockiness that they display on the pitch, If that is who you are, and if there's some advantage to that because it's intimidating to your opponents, then I don't have any problem with that. But if in this day and age you don't think that video or pictures or news is going to get out of your stupid behavior off the field, then you're in the wrong sport. You're in the wrong job. You know that will catch up with you. And if you don't care, you don't have to care. But people do,
and
that's unfortunate. What's your prediction for the championship?
I mean, I definitely think the USA are going to take it. They'll get their fourth title. Jill Ellis said after the match yesterday that this is their goal. Their goal is the trophy, and they're going to do what they have to do to get that. So I see them winning. Scoreline, I think, you know, Alex Morgan scored yesterday on her 30th birthday. I think she's going to kind of sort of be pumped and fired up for the final. Maybe she'll score again on Sunday.
Is Rapinoe going to play?
That's a good question. I think that if it's just a hamstring injury and it's nothing serious, she's going to be going to Jill Ellis and saying, I have to play. This
yeah,
is the
right.
World Cup final.
Right. Right.
So I think she's going to make it a point to do whatever she has to do. I believe, you know, they have enough time to rest her in between the matches. So if I'm her, she's going to Jill Ellis and saying, you have maybe not start her, depending on how severe the injury is. I didn't see anything in the report stating, but if I'm Megan, she's going to want to play in that final.
Well, it reminds me a little bit of Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals. It's like, well, but if he gets injured, then what happens? I think, well, there's no tomorrow anyway.
Correct.
So, I mean, you don't want to ruin somebody's career. You don't want to, you know, hurt them physically beyond what they might be able to recover from. But what's the point if you don't play today? That is, if you can. If you can, then you play.
Absolutely.
And if you get injured, then you get injured. But I would sure give her the opportunity if she wanted to play and felt well enough she could contribute. Okay, well, Brittany, if folks want to watch you on the sidelines for Fire Games, how do they find you all?
Yes, we actually have a match tonight. We'll be playing Atlanta United, 7 p.m. Central. You can catch us on ESPN Plus. Pre-game is 6:45.
And if you want to go to the game, you can buy tickets.
Yes, we are in SeatGeek Stadium in Bridgeview, Illinois. Yes, come out and see us.
You get about 20,000 for the games, right?
We get a good crowd. We have a great atmosphere, and the Chicago Fire has a great team, great organization. So, yeah, come see us, and we have a lot of games in July and August, a lot.
Brittany Arnold reports from the sidelines of the Fire game. Watch them on ESPN Plus, and thanks for joining us. Maybe at least one more conversation with you after the ladies' final match.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.